The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him, about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we've been, Kathy and I and the boys have been in Maryland for a little over 11 years now. And one thing that we have found, especially I as a sports fan, have found that I have mostly enjoyed the banter between fans of the University of Maryland and, well, myself as a graduate of Duke University. The games are generally fun, and I'm speaking specifically of basketball here. We don't pay a lot of attention to some of those other sports at Duke, because we're not that good at all of them. But basketball we can do. Now, I lived in North Carolina for many years before we moved here. I was a commercial banker, as many of you know, before I went to seminary. And after I got trained in Charlotte, a nice metropolitan area with lots of people from lots of places, I got transferred just about a half an hour outside of Charlotte to a town called Gastonia. And that is actually the town where the church was that eventually sent me to seminary. What I found when I got to Gastonia is that my being a Duke fan was a little more problematic, because everyone I could find was a nice fan of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Now, this wouldn't be a big deal if they were not arch rivals, and sometimes felt to me like there was something approaching hatred towards Duke fans. Not perhaps when we weren't talking basketball, but just there was always this thing. For many people, these two basketball teams especially, define rivalry. Now, despite my better intentions, eventually I did make friends with some of these Carolina people. And I went off to seminary, and one Christmas break I was back. I was right in the middle of my 3 years of seminary, and I was going to spend the night with some friends of mine, a nice couple who had graduated from Carolina, and they said they wanted me to meet somebody who went to college with them. And I'm sure if I didn't say it, what I thought was, "Can anything good come out of Chapel Hill?" Now, most of you know the end of that story, which is they introduced me to Kathy, and we were married within about a year and a half after that. So it turns out something good can come from Chapel Hill. This is a lighthearted thing, sports rivalries, and frankly, they're what makes sports fun. But that little bit of, oh, I don't know, the butting heads, the judgment, perhaps, that you get between fans of two rival teams, I think sometimes speaks to a larger truth, or at least illustrates a larger truth. We often judge each other on really petty differences. There were times in North Carolina where I would meet a group of people, and when it would come up that I went to Duke, I would feel somewhat shunned until I was able to say, but my wife went to Chapel Hill, at which point I would be tolerated. Something different makes somebody an outsider. Well, this kind of bias, perhaps not about teams, but it shows up in the gospel. The story we heard this morning, the calling of Philip, follows another passage in John in which Jesus' first disciples are called. Jesus calls Andrew, and Andrew then called his brother Simon. So that story immediately precedes this one. It says, on the next day, as our passage this morning started, on the next day, Jesus calls Philip. And it says that Philip found Nathanael. Now this implies some action. He didn't stumble upon Nathanael, he found Nathanael. And he tells Nathanael that he has found the one they need to follow. And he's from Nazareth. And Nathanael, who's from Bethsaida, says what? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? There's this real sense that somebody being from somewhere else, another town in Galilee, not terribly far away, can anything good come from Nazareth? It's almost like he's just finished high school and they're the rival high school football teams, right? Well, what does Philip say to him? Come and see. And then Nathanael finds Jesus, and Jesus really reaches in and touches his soul. Clearly illustrates to Nathanael that he knows who he is, and Nathanael follows. If you're keeping score, this means Jesus now has four disciples, but he has only called two of them. Each of them has called another. Are we finding? Are we calling? The thing is, so many of us want to judge. We judge each other. Sometimes we're reluctant to be in contact with another who is different from us. Sometimes we even want to judge our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The truth is, all of us are going to have a different understanding, perhaps, of who Jesus is based on how we relate to Jesus. How Jesus, we think, we perceive, we know in our hearts, relates to us. The story we heard this morning is at the tail end of the first chapter in John. So the gospel story is just getting going. And already, Jesus has been identified here in the first chapter of John as Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph, Rabbi, the son of God, the king of Israel, the son of man, the word, the light, the Christ, the Lamb of God, the Messiah. All of these different ways of thinking about who Jesus is, these different ways of relating to Jesus, different from everyone. All of us might relate to Jesus differently, but Jesus doesn't judge when we come to follow. All of us are going to have our own way of relating to Jesus. We may have our own names for him. Maybe we think of Jesus as a peacemaker, or the reconciler, the conveyor of grace, things that we know of Jesus, and how Jesus works in our life. I'm sure each of us could come up with a description of our own, where Jesus fits into our life, into our heart. The point is that each of us is invited to come to Jesus for ourselves. There is no single path, no right way to Jesus. Jesus meets us based on our individual needs, our individual understandings, just as he met Nathanael. Jesus could not be limited, and neither should we. Nathanael, as it was, had not even yet committed to follow Jesus when Jesus came to him. It is only after his interaction with Jesus and that connection that Jesus made with him based on simply who he was that he followed. An author by the name of Alice Gray who tells a story about a company that produced beauty products. And they ran a campaign in which they asked people to send in a picture of the most beautiful woman they knew and a short letter describing this woman. Well, they got thousands of responses, as you might imagine. And there was one that particularly caught the attention of the employees who were running this campaign. And eventually they took this story to the president of the company. It was from a young boy who lived in a rundown neighborhood. And the letter he sent with the picture said this: "A beautiful woman lives down the street from me. I visit her every day. She makes me feel like the most important kid in the world. We play checkers and she listens to my problems. She understands me. And when I leave, she always tells me that she's proud of me. I hope I have a wife someday as pretty as she is." Well, the company president was intrigued by this letter, and he asked to see the picture. So his secretary handed him the picture. And it was a picture of a toothless woman, well advanced in years, sitting in a wheelchair, smiling. Her sparse gray hair was pulled back in a bun, and she had deep wrinkles. And the company president said simply, "We can't use this woman. She would show the world that beauty doesn't come from our products." Her visual image caused this company to set her aside because it would reveal something inside of her. They made her real and beautiful. When we have preconceived descriptions of other people, we limit their potential. We put boundaries on our ability to relate to them. We stereotype people, which is really just a way of making ourselves feel superior. Well, they're one of those people. They're different. I'm one of these people. I'm better. Instead of judging Nathanael, Jesus looked into his heart, and he recognized that Nathanael was still searching. And remember what Jesus said to Nathanael. He said, "You shall see greater things than these." And Nathanael's faith and commitment to follow Jesus would lead him beyond his wildest dreams. His life was changed forever. Jesus sees in each and every one of us that great potential. You don't have to be good looking. You don't have to be intelligent. You don't have to be popular to be one of Jesus' followers. As much as it pains me to say it, you don't even have to root for Duke. Jesus will even accept a North Carolina Tar Heel. You only have to come and see. Amen.